He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekend review show on what has been a crazy and wild week in the stock market, in the bond market, in the real estate market, you name it. It has been a wild week. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I'm an active manager. I'm not a passive manager. I am in the market 9 to 10 hours every single day for the last 23 years. So hopefully I can make some sense out of what is going on in the market right now. There's a lot of cross currents going on, okay? Obviously, the biggest cross current is the Fed. The Fed is on the warpath. And ever since Jerome Powell's Jackson Hole speech, which was quite hawkish, the market has been in a pretty nasty mood, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. The second big story, and it's been a big story all year, obviously, is inflation. You know, just when we thought maybe the Fed was going to pivot and start backing off some of those rate hikes, no. We get a hotter-than-expected inflation print, and the market goes down 1,260 points on Wednesday, I believe that was. Settled down a bit on Thursday, and then FedEx reported, well, you know, things aren't going so well for us. We see a global recession out there. We got a lot to talk about today, so turn up your radio. Welcome to the Best Stocks Now Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I'm president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a nationwide virtual firm. You don't have to come into our office and sit down. You can get on a Zoom call and yell at us if you want to. Or question us. Ask us, hey, what do you do different than the other guys? What have you done this year versus the other managers out there? Have you been passive? Have you just sat there in an asset allocation while the bond market is, bond ETFs are getting crushed as interest rates go higher? Did you sit there and remain in ETFs like ARK and other high PE types of ETFs, growth ETFs, while interest rate went up and it crushed the multiples on those high PE stocks? Well, we'll answer all those questions for you. We'll analyze your current portfolio and give you our honest opinion. I wouldn't trade the 23 years in the market that I've had. I haven't seen everything. Nobody has seen everything in this market. I've seen a lot. I saw the NASDAQ go down by almost 90%, 80%, 79% back in the year 2000. Why? Valuation. The valuation on the NASDAQ was way too high at that point in time. And we saw the dot-com bubble collapse. It burst. I've been through the financial crisis of 08 and 09, where we saw a deterioration of earnings for the S&P 500 companies and, of course, companies outside the S&P 500. And when earnings decrease, when earnings expectations decrease, the market follows along with it. And conversely, well, look at 09. 09, earnings finally bottomed. They started to look up for 2010, 2011. The market turned around and started following those earnings expectations once again. And it's been following those earnings expectations, which have gone higher every single year since 2009. We've had the longest bull market in the history of the market. We've had a lot of sell-offs along the way. But the primary trend of the market never broke to the downside. If you look at a chart from 2009 until today, we had the COVID year, but that ended up being a pretty good year. So now where are we at? Okay, we have had a rocky market here in 2022, and there are just some areas that are full of landmines that you wanted to get out of earlier this year. If you didn't get out of those areas, you've suffered some very severe damage. Let's just go through the numbers here of where we're at year to date. The S&P 500 is now down about 19%, almost 20%. It's lost almost one-fifth of its value since the beginning of the year. The inverse S&P 500, oh, we'll talk about those inverse funds today. I always do. I believe that they're one of the asset classes, along with cash and stocks and bonds and precious metals and real estate, etc. I believe inverse funds are an asset class that you can call on from time to time. The S&P 500 inverse, which is SH, is up 16.7% year to date. The Dow, down about 15%, year to date. The inverse Dow is DOG, D-O-G. It's an ETF. DOG is up about 14% year to date. Now, taking it on the chin the worst of all this year in 2022 is the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is down 26, 28%, somewhere in there year to date. The inverse NASDAQ is PSQ. PSQ is up about 25% year to date. Now, this begs the question, okay, Bill, the NASDAQ's down 28% and the Dow's only down about 15, a little over 15. Why the big discrepancy between these two indexes? That's an easy question to answer. Stocks in the NASDAQ, by nature, have higher P/E ratios. That's the price of the stock divided by their earnings, okay? Because they're superior growth stocks for the most part in the NASDAQ, a lot of them, more so than in the S&P 500 and the Dow, you have higher P.E. stocks in the NASDAQ. Okay, now that is fact number one. Fact number two, we began this year at a very rich multiple, a very rich P.E. ratio that we were giving to those stocks. Why? Because interest rates have a direct impact on P.E. ratios. Low interest rate environment, dropping interest rate environment, P.E. multiples on the market expand. And they can get bubblicious, which they did. We got clear up to 23 times earnings on the S&P 500 to begin the year. And the NASDAQ was even higher than that. Then as interest rates started to rise and the Fed started to go on a war path, well, one of their missions and one of the reasons they went on a war path was to rein in that multiple on the markets. And they have. The multiple has contracted all the way from 23 to about 16. Okay, that's a huge contraction. Earnings have not contracted hardly at all. It's all been in the multiple, which the Fed has engineered. It's part of the equation that we use to value stocks. I spent many years as an analyst on Wall Street writing up research reports. And there's a direct correlation between the interest rate environment of the market and the multiple we're going to assign to a publicly traded stock. So that reining in of that multiple, which really began almost 2 years ago when the Fed first started to start mentioning interest rate hikes, we started to see those hot stocks, the frontier stocks, the Cathie innovation stocks, Cathie Wood's ARK funds, which is down 52% year to date. Now wait a minute, Bill. You mean to tell me that the Dow is down about 15% this year, and she's down 52%? That's right. Because she's out there at the extreme end of the multiple, the extreme end of the P.E. ratios. In fact, most of her stocks don't even have a P.E. ratio. They're not making money yet, which brings up one more point before we go to break here. those are considered long-duration stocks. The longer the duration, the more those stocks have been hammered. Same with the bond market. A long-duration bond has been hit a lot harder than a short-duration bond. As interest rates go up, in a rising interest rate environment, you do not want to go anywhere near long-duration stocks or long-duration bonds. Okay, well, there's how you could have avoided a lot of the carnage in the market so far this year. I hope you've been listening to us, because we've been warning about that effect since the beginning of the year. Well, there's other ways to hedge one's portfolio and to maneuver through this, what we're going through right now. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunnarsson. It is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, brought to you by Gunnarsson Capital Management, a nationwide firm, a virtual firm. I decided to take my firm virtual many years ago before COVID ever hit, because I felt it was the best way to serve the large number of clients that I have across the country. My radio show has been, which I've been doing for the last 23 years, is also heard in several markets across the country, and they're spread out geographically quite a bit, from Seattle to Minnesota to Sarasota, and over to Dallas and San Francisco, and up to Pennsylvania, okay, and all over and in between. So instead of opening up offices in all of my markets, I decided to run a virtual firm, which I feel like can be much more efficient and give people better service. And, then they don't have to drive downtown to a big 12, 10, 20-story building, fight for a parking lot or fight for a parking space, pay through the nose for parking, one-way streets, etc. No, you can just talk to us over the telephone. Or we can do a Zoom call with you. I think we've all learned how to do telephone conversations and Zoom calls during this big change that we've seen in the world in the last few years. But one of the changes I've seen during my career in the business, over two decades, I saw this big move, which I didn't like. I didn't think it would end up well, and I don't think it is ending up well, to passive investing. Remember when they were selling you robotic investing with super low fees? I mean, it's basically enter your age, in very simple terms, enter your age into a computer. You're 70 years old. The computer comes back and says you should have 70% of your money in the bond market, fixed income, because of your age. You should have safer the majority of your money in safer assets than the stock market, and the other 30% you should have in the stock market, okay? And conversely, if you're 30 years old, the computer says you should have 70% of your money in the stock market, 30 in the bond market. But here's my problem with that passive, robotic type of investing. Yes, the fees are very low, but it doesn't take into account the Fed, interest rates, the economic cycle, recessions, inflation, global conflicts, changes in the world almost on a weekly, monthly, daily basis. It doesn't take into account any of that. Okay, so for instance, when the Fed goes on the warpath and clearly signals that they're going to be hiking interest rates in a very aggressive manner going forward, well, that's not a good... You're standing on the railroad tracks. Here comes a freight train being driven and engineered by Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, and your bond funds, which you're 70 years old, you're supposed to have 70% of your money in bond funds, is going to absolutely run you over and flatten those bond funds. Now, I didn't give the results of the bond funds so far in 2022. We talked about the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, and the Dow. But if you look at just the 20-year or the 10-year, let's just look at the 10-year Treasury ETF, down 13.3% year-to-date. Now, most folks out there don't own just Treasury ETFs. If your financial advisor or planner has you in a traditional asset allocation, and has you in a big, big chunk, the vast majority of your money is in bond funds, well, you're in a mix of bond funds. You're not just in 10-year treasuries. You probably own corporate bonds, which are down even more than the treasuries. You're probably in a lot of high yield stuff. They're down more. They're down about 15-16% year to date. You're probably in some international or global bonds. Well, interest rates are going up all over the world, and the bond markets are going down all over the world. At Gunderson Capital Management, we don't own any bond ETFs, not one. And we have a lot of clients from all over the country at every age group. Cash is a better choice. Cash is a much better choice than a bond fund, which is sure to go down as interest rates go up. That's the dynamic. That's how it works. Okay, number one. So we don't believe in passive management. And I think there's actually a move back to active management. A lot of people have been crushed in the passive management movement, and it's especially been bad this year when both the stock market and the bond market have been hit hard. Okay, point number two. Let's say you're 30 years old and you're supposed to have 70% of your money in the stock market. Well, there's different degrees of the stock market. Okay, there's the Dow and the big blue chip stocks, and then you get down into the technology stocks, kind of in the middle or towards the high-end part of the curve, the more risky part of the curve, the higher PE part of the curve. And then you get into the far-out end of the Bitcoin miners, the electric vehicle companies, the innovation stocks, the gene editing companies. Okay, those are long-duration stocks. And in a rising interest rate environment, you want to avoid that part of the market like the plague, man. Okay, you know, Kathy Woods, God bless her, her ARK fund is down about 75% since this whole interest rate thing has been moving in the wrong direction against her. The further you're out on the curve of duration in stocks and bonds and P.E. ratio, the more they've been reined in by the Fed. That's what they're doing. They're breaking the back of all of these bubbles that have been created. Okay, then as you come in from that long-range area and the innovation area of the market, you know, space exploration, Virgin Galactic, all that kind of stuff, then you come into more of the traditional, the FANG stocks, the Facebook, or Meta, I guess today, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, now called Alphabet, those kind of stocks, okay? Well, on a relative basis, they have a much higher P.E. ratio than a lot of the blue chips like AT&T and Verizon and GM and Ford, etc. So that's a second place that has been hit hard. Consider that the NASDAQ this year is down 26%, 27, 28, something like that year to date. Then you get into the industrials, the blue chip stocks, the FedExes of the world, the UPSs, etc. And this rising interest rate environment has been digging into them now, with the Dow down now over 15%. Now, when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about inverse ETFs. I learned about those 15 years ago. I use them here at Gunderson Capital Management when I deem it to be necessary. How do they work? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review, and kind of where we're at year to date in the stock market and the bond market, which hasn't been very good. I do want to talk to you this quarter about inverse ETFs. Okay, so, you know, there's all of these different asset classes that we have to choose from. As money managers, I am a fee-based only money manager. I run about six or seven different portfolios, from very, very conservative. I do run a bond, an individual bond fund. That's my most conservative. That's just holding those bonds that are selected by me till maturity. Okay. Yes, they do fluctuate with interest rates along the way, but our plan is to hold those bonds to maturity. And then we have our dividend portfolio, dividend and growth. That's actually been a pretty good place to be this year. It's fared a lot better. Dividend-paying stocks are considered much shorter in duration than a stock way out here on the frontier, like a Lucid Motors or a Rivian, etc., that someday may have some decent sales, someday may have some earnings, but it's way off in the future. Okay, long duration, short duration, the money's here now, they're making money now, and they're paying a dividend on top of it. Okay, that's been a better place to be in 2022. If you had a 401k, that would have been a good choice at the beginning of the year. Avoid the high tech stuff, the emerging market stuff, and European stuff, etc. Really, the only place to be this year in the stock market has been more of the dividend payers, and even more particular, the energy stocks. The oil and gas stocks have definitely been the best sector in the market in 2022. They should continue to do well. There's kind of a wild card out there. When Europe set the strong sanctions against Russia earlier this year, back in June, I believe it was, they told Russia that, you know, we'll continue to buy your oil, but come December 5th, we're done, okay? We're not buying any more of your oil. Okay, if they follow through with that, that's going to put pressure, that's going to continue to pressure oil to the upside, unless we go into a massive recession, which I don't think is in the cards, at least not yet. The other big wild card, of course, has been natural gas, and that's been the best spot in the entire market in 2022, the natural gas stocks. Our largest position is LNG, which is Cheniere Energy. They're the ones here in the U.S. that are liquefying that natural gas, putting it on ships, transporting it to Europe. Why? Because the pipeline carrying liquid natural gas to Europe is shut down. It's completely shut down now, okay? Obviously, Putin has weaponized that, and he's weaponizing oil, too. He could cut off the supply of oil. Europe is, at the current time, buying oil from Russia. But as of December 2nd, if they follow through and don't acquiesce, they will stop buying it. Well, that'll take quite a bit of oil off the markets and would have an upward pressure on oil prices going forward. So we still have pretty good exposure to oil. Okay, we also own several inverse ETFs. They go exactly opposite of whatever asset class they're designed to be inverse of. Okay, so for instance, the bond market. In our bond fund, individual bond fund, to hedge against interest rates rising, we own TBT. TBT is an exchange-traded fund, an ETF, which is about the most common kind of investment there is. I think there's more money in ETFs now than individual stocks. I could be wrong, but the ETF market has grown exponentially. TBT is inverse the bond market. Okay, as the bond market goes down, which it has done this year, TBT goes up. So, for instance, TBT began the year at about $18 per share. Today it's $29 per share. It's up about 40% here so far this year in 2022. It was almost, there's nothing, no such thing as a sure thing, but it was pretty high probability that the Fed was going to hike rates and rates were going to rise. That means an inverse ETF against the bond market seemed like a pretty high probability investment, and it's done very well for us. Okay, off and on, we have also used an inverse on the S&P 500. Okay, there's a ton of money in S&P 500 ETFs, SPY, almost every VOO at Vanguard, almost everybody has an S&P 500 ETF. Very low expenses. You own the 500 companies in the S&P 500. Well, that's good as long as they're doing well and America's not in a recession and earnings aren't starting to fall and interest rates and the Fed's not on the war path, which they are this year. So off and on, when we currently do own SPY, SH, which is the opposite of SPY or VOO, if the S&P 500 is down 2% today, it's up 2% today. These inverse ETFs are not meant to be long-term investments. They're meant to be used when things get a little bit rocky. Maybe the S&P 500 breaks its support levels, technical support levels, and you put in a hedge against that for a while. Maybe we start to enter into a recession, which we have had two straight quarters of negative growth. We'll get results on the quarter we're currently in about a month from now, 5 or 6 weeks from now, to see if we've got a third quarter in a row of negative growth. But we are teetering on a recession. SPY comes in real handy in down markets, okay? They don't do well on a big up day in the market, okay? You may have a big up day, the Dow's up 800 points, and if you've got some SPY or SH in your portfolio, that's going to be a drag on your portfolio. Cash is also a hedge. We currently have 40% in cash, okay? Which brings up another point here. A lot of investment advisors out there are constrained. They stay fully invested, especially mutual fund managers. I like to use Kathy Wood as an example. She's a prime example. She's had a tough couple of years, but she is constrained by her style of investing that's ingrained in, I'm sure, the documents that support her fund, you know, the fine print. She has to buy innovation stocks, and she probably doesn't have the ability to go to cash and to protect during a time of rising interest rates. I doubt that she can put in hedges against her. You know, there is an inverse on her fund. It's SARK. ARK is her ETF, which is down about 70% from its high. SARK does just the opposite of her ETF, and we've owned that off and on throughout this year because we felt that that innovation high PE area of the market was the most vulnerable area of the market as interest rates began to rise. There's an inverse ETF on the NASDAQ. Okay, the NASDAQ has done worse than the S&P 500 and the Dow. It's got those higher PE ratios, which are more subject to and vulnerable to rising interest rates. The higher the PE ratio, the worse off they do as interest rates rise, and those multiples, those PE ratios and forward PE ratios contract. PSQ is the opposite of QQQ. QQQ is the NASDAQ, and there's a lot of different ETFs out there that mimic the NASDAQ. And there's several that mimic the NASDAQ inverse. PSQ is the one that we use. The NASDAQ goes down 4% tomorrow. It goes up 4%. It's not meant to be a long-term investment, but it can be used as a hedge when the NASDAQ, when the going in the NASDAQ gets pretty sloppy, which it is right now. Very, very difficult time in the NASDAQ right now with those high PE stocks. There's an inverse on the Dow. There's DIA, which is the Dow, and there's other ETFs, I'm sure, that mimic those Dow 30 stocks. DOG is the inverse of the Dow. DOG, that makes sense. Walk the dog. It's done a lot better. With the Dow down 15% this year, it's up 15%. Now, when we come back, there are also some leveraged inverse ETFs. If you're really bearish on something, you can double down on your bearishness. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Show, Week in Review, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. I physically am located in Charleston, South Carolina, a beautiful place. I lived in California all my life. My wife and I moved here about four years ago. And we really love it. I am an avid fisherman. I like to garden. It's a great spot. I like to eat out, you know, tomato, fried green tomatoes and things like that. We have some good food here in Charleston. My staff is all over. I have staff. My back office is mostly in Scottsdale, Arizona. I have a great back office that really takes care of our clients. I also have staff in Georgia, just north of Atlanta. So anyways, we have a lot of fun every day. We work great together. We're out to do what we can to take care of our clients. I'm an unconstrained investor. You know, Bill Gross was unconstrained in the bond market, the bond king. So if interest rates started moving against him, you know, he could do something about it. He was constrained. A constrained investor can't do anything. I mean, if you're the manager of the Fidelity Magellan Growth Fund, you've got to remain fully invested in growth stocks. If you're the manager of the high-yield bond fund, you've got to stay invested in high-yield junk bonds in a bad environment for high-yield junk bonds. It's nice to be unconstrained, believe me. I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, one of the tools that I have at my disposal are inverse funds, and I don't go wild with them. I use them very judiciously. Why wouldn't you? It's like having a tackle box full of different little goodies to lure the fish. Some days the fish are over here. Some days they're here. Sometimes the sun or the cloud cover favors this color or that color. Sometimes they're chasing shrimp. Some days they're chasing menhaden, so you have to adjust accordingly. The stock market's no different. This is a terrible year for bond funds. An inverse ETF against the bond market, to me, made perfect sense. We have about a 10% position in our individual bond fund. But it's leveraged 2-to-1. So if the bond market goes down, it's down 13% this year. That's just the treasuries. Well, TBT would be up 26%. It would be up twice what the bond market is down. Okay. If the NASDAQ is down 25%, the 1-to-1 inverse NASDAQ is PSQ. It would be up 25%. And then there's the 2-to-1 NASDAQ inverse QID. It would be up 50%. I just want to warn you, however. You know, you got to kind of know how these things work. I was introduced to them some 15 years ago. One of the wholesalers from ProFunds visited my office. And at the time, I had some variable annuities. Not a lot, but I had some variable annuities in my business. And they had you are able to buy and sell within those variable annuities without tax consequences because they're protected just like an IRA is. They're tax deferred. And they had some variable annuities that they had introduced or were part of, I think it was American Scandia at the time, that had some pro funds in them, some of the inverse pro funds. So you could protect, you actually had a lure that you could reach in the tackle box and protect somebody during big sell-offs in the market or when times got rough, when we went into a recession or when trouble was brewing, when things got too expensive in the market. So it's nice to have them there when needed, okay? And I do employ them from time to time. I currently own several because this market, there's several things working against the market right now. That's why I have a 40% cash position, and I have another almost 10% now in inverse ETFs. The rest is in either individual bonds or individual stocks, which are still holding up well. The vast majority are probably energy-related in one way or another. That's been a big theme here in 2022. That's all we hear about is the crisis, the energy crisis in Europe. They have a massive crisis. Winter is coming. The liquid natural gas pipeline is shut off. We don't think it's going back on. And come early December, they're going to quit buying Russian oil, which would also put upwards pressure on oil. And of course, we've seen oil as high as $125 per barrel earlier this year. Then President Biden started releasing oil from our strategic oil reserves. That has definitely put a lid on the rising oil costs and have brought them down. But it's a temporary fix, obviously. And now he's talking about replenishing those strategic oil reserve, which would kind of put a floor under oil prices and probably see them start to rise once again. So we still feel like energy, whether it's renewable energy, whether it's fossil fuels, which still have a lot of life in them for many years. There's just some things where you can't replace fossil fuels. Charleston is a port, a big port. These big ships coming in and out, these freighters full of containers, those big ships aren't going to run on wind and solar, and the massive amount of trucks that are lined up, every one of those containers needs a truck.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.